Today, I would like to give a brief outline to Psalm 119. Before we look at this psalm and the lessons we can learn from it, let me give you a brief overview. Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in the Bible. It has 176 verses and is divided into 22 equal sections. Each of the 22 sections are in sequence headed by the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Psalm 119 is in the very center of the Bible. What a great place for it to be. It is like a flag or a standard bearer standing boldly upright in the center of the Bible, emphasizing the theme of the Bible, emphasizing that the Bible is the Word of God. We will read just one portion of this psalm, 119, verses 33 to 40, which sums up the rest of the chapter. This is what we read. Teach me, Lord, the ways of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding, so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the paths of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart toward your statutes, and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servant, so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, preserve my life. David is writing this part of the psalm like a prayer. He is asking God to help him to understand his word. He uses the words like, teach me, give me understanding, direct me. Turn my heart and my eyes toward your word. Whenever we read the Bible, the Word of God, each one of us should ask God to give us an open heart, to give us understanding and the ability to hear what God wants us to learn from Him. I would like just to refer to one other verse in this psalm, which emphasizes David's keenness to read and meditate on God's word. We read it in verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. So what is it that gives us the desire to read God's word, to have a love of God's word, an appetite for God's word? When we ask God into our lives, it is the Holy Spirit that gives our hearts the appetite to read and digest God's word. We may ask the question, why do I need to read and meditate on God's word? When we first start to learn to drive, we are given a little booklet, which is titled The Highway Code, which has all the road signs listed, and in it we read what you can and cannot do when you drive on the highway. Can you imagine when you first get it behind the wheel of the car and set out on your first journey to discover there's no signs, no names, or numbers to the roads? Imagine having no road sign giving you no direction and no signs. And when you come to a road juncture, you're not told to stop. Further on into the psalm, David says in Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. The Word of God gives us direction and gives us divine advice to prevent us from sinning and coming to any harm. Children that have no discipline get into mischief, are unhappy and insecure. We know that our children need discipline. Then they feel happy and secure. The Word of God brings understanding, truth, and security. The Bible can be read in many ways. It can be read as a storybook, telling how man was created and how the Jewish nation came into being. The New Testament tells us all about Jesus coming into the world as a baby, telling of his life, and the creation of the Christian church. But most important, the Bible should be read as the Word of God. It is God communicating with mankind. The many stories of the Old Testament show us man's failings, but in those circumstances the Bible shows how God graciously and lovingly helped and led the people of Israel through many dark experiences. In the New Testament, we read of God's final solution to man's sin. God came into the world by sending his Son Jesus. In his short life on earth, Jesus showed a shining example of where we should live. But his ultimate reason to come into the world was to pay for the sins of mankind. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." God wants us all to have eternal life and forever live with him. But we may not realize the wages of sin is death. The Bible is a love story from Jesus, because in John 3:16 we read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." When you have a meal, as you eat it, it is important to chew your food so that it'll be easy to digest. So when you read God's word, you need to pause and chew it over so your heart can digest what God is saying to you. When you cook a meal, sometimes it's necessary to leave the food soaking in a liquid for it to marinate, that is to moisten it. It will soften the food like fish or meat and enrich the taste. When reading the Word of God, we need to pause and think about it. Sleep on it to allow the Word of God to marinate, to penetrate your heart and soul, and nourish you. When I was a young man, we had a Bible teacher regularly visit us from Northern Ireland. In those days, there were no mobile phones, landlines were expensive, so writing letters was the obvious choice. Today we call it snail mail. This Bible teacher explained in one of his sermons how each day he would write a letter to his wife to tell her how he was doing. But also his wife would be writing and sending him a letter each day in return to tell him how she was doing. Obviously, they both looked forward to receiving one another's letters each day. But as the Bible teacher slowly read the letter, he knew there was something special about the way his wife wrote it, the way his wife formed her sentences. He felt as if she was actually speaking to him in person. He was reading between the lines. What we mean by reading between the lines is that as he read the letter, he could detect her affection for him and could feel her emotions as she wrote the letter, showing him how much she missed him, wishing he was back home with her. The Bible is no different. It is a great book of letters written under the inspiration of God, written by godly men and women who were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Through the many stories written in the Bible, it tells us all about God himself, and most important, how great his love is for us, and how he wishes for all of us to know and experience that love, to experience his daily care for us, and for each one of us one day to be taken up into heaven to live with him for eternity. The Bible, the Word of God, can be read just as a storybook. But when we become a child of God, we start to build a loving relationship with him. We form a love bond. When we build that love bond with Jesus, what is so wonderful is that the Bible is not just a book of knowledge that we know in our head, but we start to have a heart experience with God. Also, when we become a child of God, God sends his Holy Spirit down to live in our hearts. So as we read the Word of God, God's Holy Spirit warms our hearts, He inspires us, He gives us understanding. We can feel God's love in our hearts as we read and meditate on it. Let us take a moment to look into the New Testament and read about the Word of God in the book of John's Gospel. In the opening verses of John 1, John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that had been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness had not overcome it." John also says in John 1 verse 14, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." What is God saying to us? First, that Jesus came into the world as a baby, and when he began his ministry, it was indeed God's Word made flesh. And for us as God's children, we should read his Word and seek to follow him and live by God's Word, an example to the world we live in. In the story of David and Goliath, we read how David slew Goliath with his own sword, having stunned him with just a smooth stone in a sling. We read Goliath came to attack David with a full set of armour of great weight. But David had no armour, just a sling and a bag with a few stones in it. What hope had David to fend off Goliath? But we read that David had already developed his skill in killing a lion and a bear. We do not need the cumbersome armour of the world's ways to protect ourselves. We have the Word of God. So when the enemy seeks to taunt us, we can use God's Word, the Bible, to defend ourselves. Remember, when Jesus was in the desert fasting, Satan came to tempt him. We read in Matthew 4, verses 2 to 4, "After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he," that is Jesus, "was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.' Jesus answered, 'It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" We also read in Hebrews 4, verses 12 and 13, "For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitude of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account." Notice, it says a double-edged sword. This type of sword, when it penetrates, it does not matter which way it moves, it will cut and penetrate. So it is with God's Word. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. You cannot get round the truth. The Word of God penetrates joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The joints in our body give us movement. If they seize up, we can't do anything. Also, the marrow in the centre of our bones is where the blood is produced. If we do not continue to produce blood, we will die. The Word of God is truth and is able to go deep into man's soul and conscience. As the last part of the verse says, everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. We have so far seen how God's Word gives us guidance and protection, but God's Word can also bring us encouragement and build us up when life is tough. We read in Colossians 3 verse 16, "Let the message of Christ which in the King's Version says, "Let the Word of God dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." In our country, due to the breakdown of society, there is an ever-increasing number of folk who are living on their own and are very lonely. That is the opposite of what God wants for mankind. He created family. So it is important that we should seek to meet together as much as possible in order for us to help and encourage one another. Here in this verse we have just read, it is the Word of God which is the catalyst which binds us together. Final advice as to how we can stay close to the Word of God is in Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3, which says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers." Recently, I heard a question quoted which says, "How best can you get to know a person? Find out who his friends are and what he reads." Here in Psalm 1, which we've just read, bears record to that question. We had the joy of witnessing the baptism of a young man. We will call him John. He was from a broken home. He became a drug addict, he got married, had one child, but soon his child was taken into care and he divorced his wife. 2 years ago, John came to the Alpha Course to learn about the Christian faith, and there he met Jesus. He has had a very hard journey to live as a Christian, but we know that the Holy Spirit will help us fight the battles of life when we truly trust him. It was too easy for John to look up old friends and like-minded young folk from the past, but he now makes every effort to avoid them and make new friends with young Christians. In his spare time, when we do not have an evening Sunday service in our church, he visits other churches to have fellowship with other Christians. John is following Psalm 1, avoiding evil company and wisely seeking the truth of God's word. What is so wonderful, John experienced 3 amazing miracles. Shortly before he became a Christian, he had a serious head injury at work, but God has wonderfully healed him up, and he has been able to take his driving test and passed. Once he became a Christian, John wanted to stop taking drugs. He did ask God to do it, but nothing happened. Then, in desperation, he again cried out to God, "Please take the craving away." 2 days later, he was completely set free. The craving left him. We do have a wonderful, mighty God. Then after John became a Christian, through having to attend a course, he won back his young son, Ben, who is a lovely child and a joy to be with, in spite of being poorly treated, having been taken into care. Ben, as a child of 4, desperately wanted to be back with his father. Through God's wonderful power and grace and love, together with the help of John's mother, they are now reunited. At John's baptism, I recited some verses from Psalm 91, 1 and 2, which read, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shelter or shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, whom I trust." To put this in simple language, by staying close to God, we will know his peace and security. Further on in the chapter, God brings great encouragement to those who faithfully seek to follow him. Psalm 91, 13 to 15 reads, "Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him. For he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. How true are the words in Hebrews 11, verse 6. Without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So, how can we live a life of righteousness? We read further on in Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. My desire is for you all to heed the words in Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Amen.